Okay, we will go ahead and call this meeting back to order at 7:08 PM. Okay, please join us in an invocation led by Ms. Polis and the flag salute led by Ms. Miranda Jimenez.
Dear Lord, please be with us tonight as we make the decisions that affect the students and community. And we want to say a special thank you for the community service groups that come out and support our children. Every time we turn around, there's something else wonderful happening for our students. We want them to know how much we appreciate them, and please shower your grace on them for all the things that they do for our students. In his name we pray. Amen.
Please join me in the flag salute. Right hand over your heart. Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Ms. Shoemaker.
Here.
Ms. Polis.
Here.
Ms. Miranda Jimenez.
Here.
Mr. Flowers.
Here.
Mr. Monades.
Present.
Ms. Valdez.
Here.
Dr. Miranda.
Here.
We have no action to report out of closed session, so we will move on to presentations. And our only presentation this evening is from the West Covina Noon Rotary, the presentation of mini grants. So I will go ahead and turn it over to Dr. Hinman.
Thank you, President Shoemaker. At this time, I'll turn it over to Ms. Hawkins, who has program responsibility.
Thank you, Dr. Hinman, and to the board, good evening. I would like to take the opportunity to introduce three members of the West Covina Noon Rotary. We have our first person, Mary Ramos. She's our current president of West Covina Rotary. Phyllis McDonald, she's the current chair of the Mini Rotary Grants. She's very much a part of what we're doing here tonight. And then Ken Lund, and he's a former president of the Noon Rotary. And they're going to present the Rotary Mini Grants to our recipients tonight. Thank you. You can go up to the podium.
Thank you very much. I'm not going to read to you how the mini grants were started. You're probably able to read. It's been in the folder. You didn't get one. For shimmel, for shimmel. We're very, very proud to be one of the first clubs that started the Teacher Mini Grant program, and because of what we did in our club, this has taken off in many clubs across our district, and we're very, very excited about that. What happens is each year, the teachers in the district from K to 12 are invited to write a competitive grant, and these grants then are submitted to our Rotary team. They are then read and judged, and what we do is we go until we run out of money. Now this year we have more money than we're giving mini grants this year. We're going to have to, if this continues, I think what we're going to need to do is do a little in service on this, because we were having some interesting ways of writing a grant this year, and so we want to make sure that next year we can use the $2,000 that we have left over plus what we normally fund, which is about $7,000 or $8,000, and get lots and lots of mini grants for this year. I'd like to have Ken and Mary come up. And what we're going to do is we will call your names. You can come up. Oh, dear. Maybe I did get these out of order. Here.
I got the certificates.
You got the certificates. Mm-hmm. I'll write it here. And what we'll do is you can come up and get your grant from your money from Mary and your certificate from Ken. And somehow these slipped, so I will hand them to you and you can hand them out. The first one to receive, these are Merlinda teachers. And
wants us to stand.
Okay. Merlinda teachers have always done a monumental job. job in writing mini grants. They got the idea that this is a way to get $300 for your classroom, no strings attached, and so this has been something that has been going on for years and years at Relinda, and it's not because I'm there. Well, I used to be there.
Yeah.
Anyway.
In fact, we're tougher on our limit.
I'm a judge, so I don't, I have nothing to do with who gets what. I just am there to make sure that everything runs smoothly. Okay, the first one is Mary Gear, and hers is the Bebop to STEM Growth for the Future. There you are, Mary.
Okay.
And Carolyn Hamner, if you step it up, Mary. And she's not here tonight, so we'll make sure that she gets her chip.
I'll bet she would.
Carolyn Hamner. And Melissa Kuhn is hands-on math, and she's not here tonight either. We'll make sure that she gets her. And then the other person who is receiving an award is Lucy Lopez. And I've been in her classroom, and those little pumpkins do.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Okay, and then continuing is Allison Newland Burton, and I don't see Allison tonight either. Hers is Ready, Set, Read. And then we have Veronica Pignon.
I'm going to try.
Thank you. Oh, I don't forget that. Okay, and then I understand that Margaret can't be here tonight, and hers was she has, she
she got a grant for a camera, which I think is just a marvelous thing. Sure. And so her boss is going to take that, and I'm going to check with her to make sure. Okay, in the program at the back, you'll see the names of some of the people who have provided mini grants for the teachers. And if you see some of those people around, tell them thank you very much, because it's a very, very nice thing. We're trying really hard to up it to like 400 or 500, but we haven't been able to do that yet.
We're gonna squeeze in the superintendent, the board president.
We need that picture. I like to call that time.
Oh.
Jessica, they want the banner.
Which one, UCLA or UCLA?
Oh, yes.
Is there a way to get it?
By Thursday.
We will now move on to the public hearing portion of our meeting. I will go ahead and declare a public hearing open at 7:22 p.m. for the purpose of hearing public input on the initial proposals from the California School Employees Association, chapter number 91. Is there anybody in the public who would like to address the board at this time? There being no one, I will go ahead and close this public hearing at 7:22 p.m. And with that, I will declare a public hearing open at 7:22 p.m. for the purpose of hearing public input on the district's initial proposals. Got it. District initial proposals to the California School Employees Association, chapter number 91. Is there anyone that would like to address the board? see no one. This public hearing is hereby declared closed at 7:23 p.m. Okay. I do not have a report this evening. Are there any other members of the board that have a report? Ms. Miranda Jimenez?
Okay. I have some
handouts as well for everybody.
First, I want to let you all know that there is a,
the board of Hearst Ranch has asked me to pass this out to the board. There is a West Covina Food and Wine Festival that's taking place in July. Take one and give it to this one to the superintendent as well. Let me borrow yours. Thank you. And it's July 18th and 19th. Hearst Ranch is going to has opened the facility for day two, which is July 19th. And the board will be acting as docents that day as well as assisting. But the proceeds are going to be split between the Historical Society and Hearst Ranch. And Hearst Ranch is trying very hard to expand the Garden Gourmet program. And our goal as a board is to try to get the Garden Gourmet program in every elementary school, one class in every elementary school. And right now we have three elementary schools that are participating. Three. So they asked me to see if the board will support this and attend. They're buying a ticket for Friday. I mean, they're buying a whole table for Friday. And then, like I said, on Saturday, they're buying a table for Saturday. Sunday, Hearst Ranch is supporting. It's a little bit on the pricey side, but, again, it's going toward our Garden Gourmet program, all the proceeds, so it does benefit the children of our school district. So I'm passing that out to you at the request of the Hearst Ranch Board. I also want to say, speaking of Hearst Ranch, that we had an excellent meeting with the superintendent. The superintendent came to the Hearst Ranch facility and met members of the board, as well as Kaiser. And what was discussed was the Garden Gourmet program, how it started, where it currently is at, how it'd like to be expanded, and along with the school tours. And the board was very, very pleased and impressed with the superintendent and is excited about the collaborations that can happen in the future. I want to congratulate the PTA on their excellent awards dinner. That was a lot of fun. If there's any PTA members out here, it was great to see the principals, and it was good to see the PTA, gorgeous to have the event with the sunset occurring behind us, and it was great to see all my colleagues on the board, so that was really well done. And then the open houses that have occurred so far, Coronado, you all did a stellar job. Loved the quotes. That was a really, really good idea. It added just a little bit of finesse and a little bit of punch to each classroom. And it was really interesting to see what each teacher, what they valued through their quotes. And so, and Ms. Tran, you did a fabulous job inside the cafeteria with all those photos and posting it so that we can see the things that that Coronado is doing. So congratulations to Coronado for an excellent open house. Really appreciate that. Then lastly, the Education Summit, a huge thank you on behalf of myself and the committee. West Covina really was in the house that day. They were so impressed with our district. I heard from the superintendent in Alhambra and the superintendent of Baldwin Park asking me, how did you get so many staff and people from your district to come? I told him our secret was that we're a very committed district and that we believe in education. So I told him if they wanted the ins, then they had to call the superintendent. So I want to thank everybody who came out and supported the work that was being done. I might be calling some of you. We have a debrief meeting. I might be calling some from the staff, if the superintendent will allow me, just to get some feedback. We're going to have a debrief with Mike Ng on Thursday. So if anybody who did attend also wants to give any feedback. I did pick up from the committee the presentation that I was facilitating, ROP did it, and that was the student tips to get ready for a career. So I brought copies. So that way, if you have young people in your life that you want to pass along these tips to, that would be excellent. Jessica, he did a really good job from the ROP, so here's, there we go.
Okay.
As well as, I'm going to pass out the College and Career Access Pathways. That was a really good presentation from, there's a copy there for Ms. Hawkins there, about AB 288, which is the community college bill that is currently going through its approval process. There's two pages here, so.
And just take one and then pass,
take the two pages and then pass it down. I will bring it up in the discussion part, but I brought you information on the Access Pathways AB 288. And what it is it's allowing students to be concurrently enrolled in high school as well as community college and take up to 15 units and then graduate from high school with already 15 units under their belt. Currently, it's 11. It's looking to be expanded to 15. I'll discuss it a little bit more in the discussion. I'd like to have some discussion with the board about this. But it was an excellent, well-done education summit again. Thank you to all those who attended, the principals that are currently in the room, and the teachers, and the staff here, the cabinet. Okay, that is it.
Mr. Manares?
I just want to briefly piggyback on what what Eileen said. I got to attend my first open house as a board member at Coronado, and I was extremely impressed by what I saw. I've been to various continuation high schools, but when you walk onto that campus, you don't get the feeling that these students are anything less than any other student. It's such a positive vibe. A lot of what I saw in the classrooms was a strong showing of teacher commitment, and there's no doubt that teachers are truly dedicated to those students. So it's easy to see why that school has earned the title of a model continuation school. So I applaud you, principal and teachers that are here. And I'm sure that the enthusiasm and the excitement of that day is what happens every day in the classroom, because it's when it truly, truly counts. But as my first open house as a board member, it was a great place to start. So congratulations. Keep up the good work.
Ms. Poulos?
At the Region 23 meeting they had this Saturday, the theme was not letting any child fall through the cracks. Then the next back-to-school night we go to is Coronado. And our at-risk students, so many of our at-risk students are there. And we weren't letting them fall through the cracks there. So it was really exciting to hear how important it was and our call to go out and make sure that these students didn't fall through the cracks, and to see all of the things that were happening at Coronado. I loved all the pictures. Mm-hmm. And then this past Sunday, I went to the Information Fair and Festival that the Parents' Place puts on. And who was there? The Volunteer Club from Coronado. Mm-hmm. And they took on some of the toughest jobs with the most finesse. You're working with children with special needs, and they were at every moon bounce. I mean, they were throughout, but I specifically saw them at the moon bounces, which I feel is probably part of one of the most difficult places to supervise. And these students, with their teacher, was there supervising these students in such a loving and caring way, but still firm. And so young, these young people were able to do that. And I was so proud to know that they were at one of our schools. And the teacher shared with me, as I'm watching these children bounce and how well they're doing, is that because of the opportunities they had in our community at Hearst Ranch, at Parents' Place, in different places, that some of his students have been employed. Because they have been given opportunities in our community to put on their resumes that they have actually had some work experience in what they've done, and with their glowing reviews from their volunteerism, have actually been employed. So we're doing what we have been called to task to at this Region 23 meeting, and I was just glowing with pride. and then no one mentioned their camping trip and the VW bus that was out there with the little tent next to it. And I was ready to sign up, but I heard they were already full. it made me want to go on that trip. And then the PTA dinner just showed our community, once again, coming together, all those parents and staff, making a difference. And the different kinds of scholarships and awards that were given, you can see that just the commitment that our community has to our schools. So it was a really great week and a half of things that were happening. Hollencrest. Not to forget Hollencrest was a great back-to-school night. And I'm just going to brag about Ms. Cotran's classroom and how she was able to engage the two very special children that I took with the videos that she got awarded for on PBS. And that how she's utilizing those videos to teach not only our students, but being a star throughout California and with her YouTube videos and helping so many other students learn. And then, there were so many things at Hollencrest that I didn't think that my two elementary school students were going to love it, and they were just, like, so engaged in almost every classroom we went to. Some were a little bit too academic, and then the band was a little bit too loud for one of my children who have some sensitive issues with hearing, but I thought the band was awesome. And then the athletic equipment they had out there, where they, the little bicycles and the different things. What a nice way to have engaged middle school students and being active on their breaks. And then robotics. I have to have other people have things to share, but every time I walked by, I was in awe. So just thank you for all of you teachers who put on, go the extra mile in principals and make a difference for our students. It doesn't go unappreciated. So thank you so much.
Okay.
Is there anything?
Yes. there really isn't nothing there. For Coronado, I start with them. What an awesome time that I had. I even got it. I was able to receive a plant.
Oh, yes.
I got so enthralled in what was going on. I was got to talking to one of the teachers, and Eileen was waiting on me so we can come to the board meeting. I wasn't ready to leave. I truly was enjoying myself. The pictures, Coronado, you guys are truly a blessing to your students. Your teachers are. Thank you. And I look forward to coming back. I said I was going to come back and have lunch one day on campus. So, anyway, and I saw the PTA dinner. It was so wonderful to see all of the board members together, all the colleagues together, and the superintendent and some of the staff together also. Come there and had a wonderful dinner and a wonderful event. It was truly, truly an awesome event. And then when we get to Hollencrest and see the robotics and to see that most of these students are just freshman students, I mean, the sky's the limit, is the limits for what's going on in our school district, for what the superintendent and staff, what you guys are doing along with the board. You guys are truly are to be recommended for the work that I see what's going on in our schools. And again, Ms. Coltrane class, when Cammy, I'm coming to get Cammy just to show me. She already knew what was going on. And she was teaching Cammy's kids math also. And then she was showing us singing. I don't know, did she sing to you? Did she show you him when you came to visit?
She did.
So we have great things going on in our district, so what a great time to be a part of what's going on. And so thank you, teachers and students, for all what they've done. And I continue to look forward to seeing what's going on next time we go back to visit. Oh, one more thing. Yes. May 19th, Night on the Town, May 20th, West Covina's Night on the Town. So I invite you guys all come to see Night on the Town. Tickets are $25. They have free beer. That's one time you can be, well, no. Some people, they got Friday's going to be there. I think Baskin Robbins, all the different restaurants could be there. I think I got about 20 restaurants, different restaurants we can keep, all you can eat. So start at 6 o'clock. I think $25, I think, is most of the tax write-off also. And I think they always give you one ticket to go to the movies. And plus they have a silent auction also. So if you have time, May 20th, 6 o'clock, 6, 6:30 p.m. Wednesday.
That's
so
what they do for our district.
They do the eye screening for our district. So a lot of that money will go back right into our students and doing the eye screening.
So that will be 6 p.m. on the 20th.
Well, and last year they got a couple of school board members and city council members to do the chicken dance in front of the crowd.
Jessica and I. Wow. Jessica and I. And Jessica's parents donated $500 if we all got up there with the city council.
Yes, they did.
Wow.
Gotta love
and her. Also, one more thing.
I would have liked to have seen that.
Oh, there's video evidence.
May 16th, the Sunrise Rotary will be putting on a Mary Poppins play at San Dimas Playhouse. And all the proceeds that the money that we make goes towards shoes and socks in our district to the most neediest kid in our district. And also, the tickets are $25, but also they will serve for the adults hors d'oeuvres and wine to go along with that $25 ticket. But every dime will go to shoes and socks. We start at 2 o'clock on the 16th, and so from 2 to 4. So if anybody's doing anything, Mary Poppins does fly. So what a great event. I've seen a little parts of it. You truly, truly, truly would enjoy it. So I got, like you got, May 16th, 2 o'clock in San Dimas, downtown San Dimas at the Playhouse. Thank you.
Okay. Student rep report.
For Coronado High School, Open House was a big success. Thank you to the board members and cabinet for attending. 18 volunteer students worked last Saturday at the Parents' Place Fair. 20 students visited LA Trade Tech as a possible post-high school choice. And soccer season has started, and the third annual Coronado Art Show will be held on May 7th from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. All are invited. For Edgewood High School, Academic Decathlon competed for state championships in Sacramento and placed first in state for medium-sized high school. They also welcomed military representatives, and the travel club left to China to visit their sister school, and they spent their spring break abroad learning about different cultures and ethnicities. For West Covina High School, last Friday, we held our final Renaissance rally, and the theme was DC Comics, Fight to the Top. The rally recognized graduating seniors, featuring a video asking seniors what college they will be attending, a teacher video to Uptown Funk, various performances by Winter Guard, Drumline, All Male Dance Drill, a special performance by Battle of the Bands winner. They performed songs by Amy Winehouse and Jackson 5. And we also recognized the retirement of three teachers, Miss Julian, Mr. Charlton, and Carol Booley. On Friday, choir held their spring concert at Bethany Church. And last Saturday, prom was held at the Belasco Theater in L.A. The theme was Beauty and the Beast, a tale as old as time. And next Friday, Dance Drill, an all-male, will be hosting their annual Diva Dance-Off, showcasing the team's many routines in the gym.
Thank you. Ms. Polis?
I didn't want to forget that Edgewood High School and West Covina High School had volunteers at the Information Fair and Festival, and they were awesome also. So we didn't want to forget how all of the support we had from all of our high schools.
Okay, staff informal report.
Thank you, President Shoemaker. Mr. Seaman.
Thank you. Over in Human Resources, we are excited about the job description that was approved by the board for the TOSA Common Core Coach. So we have started flying those and fielded a lot of questions from our teachers as to what it's going to entail and what they need to do to apply. So I think we're going to get a good crop of people in there as TOSA Common Core coaches. A couple weeks ago, we had our TB clearance that we do every 4 years. Well, we do it every year, but people have to do it every 4 years. And there's a new law that allows them not to take the Mantox skin test, and they can do it by form and by nurse. So we saved about 75% of the fee that we have to pay each year by doing that, and it's a lot easier for the employees. They don't have to do the skin test, come back 2 days later, and get that read. So it's less, more convenient for them. It's a new law that came out this year, and we save money by doing it. So
do it how?
There's a form that they fill out. There's questions that a nurse, registered nurse, has to ask, and then she signs off that they are not, don't have TB, because you have to have present signs of TB. Yeah. Whole new law that came out.
Dr. Coughlin.
In the business division, we're gearing up for our summer projects for this summer. So at the next board meeting, we'll be bringing our ideas of the different projects that involve some schools getting painted, badly in need of paint, There's some roofing projects and some asphalt concrete projects that are just going to make our schools look a lot better and make them much safer. So we'll be bringing those to the next board meeting to share with the board.
Ms. Hawkins?
Well, in Ed Services, we're busy closing down and starting up. So we're gearing up for all the end-of-the-year things, and we're preparing for all the beginning-of-the-year things. And so we have summer school that we're preparing for, an end-of-the-year activity, and working with curriculum development teams, a beginning-of-the-year activity through UCI. So the staff is very busy in IT, special ed, and curriculum and instruction with that. And then I just want to congratulate, it was mentioned that Edgewood High School went to the state decathlon. If you look at, on the website, they won the national championship for their division. So we're very excited about that, and they'll be here at future board meeting in May to have the board recognize them. So we're excited about that. Thank you.
Thank you. A couple quick announcements. First, just an observation. I just want to commend the board and agree with the board. You know, there's just such a sense of excitement when you've had a chance to go out to the open houses and into the classrooms and see the instruction that's going on. You know, I'm still on the honeymoon, so it's still somewhat new to me as well. And I have to tell you, it's just a wow factor. You know, at first, I really went to the open houses and I kind of had that same buzz, but then I get to backfill during the day and go into individual classrooms when the actual, you know, work is being done. I got to tell you, room for room, teacher for teacher is just phenomenal. You are correct. Our teachers are doing phenomenal work out there. So I thank you for that recognition, and particularly because there's so much truth in it. I want to talk a little bit about Hearst Ranch, too, just briefly. Thank you for the invitation. What a delightful group of individuals over there. Their heart is dedicated in the right place. They want to serve kids. They want to serve our kids, which is so cool. I talked to Dr. Coughlin in Nutrition Services about starting the concept of an idea of partnering with them a little bit, about how can we use our nutrition services and some of the curriculum that they have about healthy eating, smart eating. And I think there's a possible merge there, so we're going to continue to look at that a little bit. And I do believe we'll have more schools participating in the future as well. And then also I want to announce, right hot off the press, that Orangewood Elementary School was approved by the International Baccalaureate Organization to become a PY Pool school. Obviously, they have to go through the process, but we're very, very excited. We're hoping that Edgewood Middle will get the next letter, but right now we're very, very excited. So, Janet, thank you, and congratulations, and looking forward to moving forward. Thank you.
Okay. The next item on our agenda is items from the floor, public comment. I do not have any blue cards this evening. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to address the board at this time? Okay, seeing no one, we will move on to the business session, beginning with the approval of our agenda consent items. Are there any items a board member would like to add to consent?
May we add seven?
Yes.
And I think that's kind of it.
Thank you for being the seven.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Save
a lot of time for us.
Okay, are there?
It's
going
to save a lot of time for them too.
Yes, it will. Again,
saving,
you know what?
Time all the way around.
Win-win. Good job. Good job, young man.
Are there any items that a board member would like to remove from consent?
I'd like to take off 24 just so I can see the presentation on the fences.
I just have a quick question before I ask for a motion on this. When I met with the superintendent, I asked a question about the minutes of the April 14th. Were you able to confirm it? Okay, perfect. With that, do I have a motion to approve the agenda consent items for the regular meeting of April 28, 2015, with the addition of number 7 to consent, the removal of number 24 from consent, along with the corrected numbers 4 and 27?
I'll move it.
I'll second.
Okay. It was moved by Ms. Miranda Jimenez, seconded by Mr. Flowers. Any opposed? Seeing none, motion carries 5-0. Okay. With that, we will move on to a very exciting topic. Chief Faulkner, I'm not sure if you want to move closer in case there's questions, because this is the item. Okay, number six is a school resource officer memorandum of understanding. I will give it to Dr. Hinman.
Thank you, President Shoemaker. Before I ask Mr. Seaman to present on this agenda item, I do want to recognize Chief Faulkner, and what I want to recognize is with all the stakeholders in the community, he was the first person to reach out and contact me. He felt it was vital that we have a relationship, that we get to know each other to talk about the community and what the school can do to facilitate that relationship, and what West Covina PD could do to facilitate a relationship with us. He's just a stellar individual. I could not be more proud to work with Chief Faulkner, and I'm very, very, very excited that we're starting the process of this MOU with West Covina PD. Mr. Seaman.
And I'll piggyback on that. I am excited about this process. We had an SRO at West Covina and Coronado previous years, and I've come from a district that had SROs at their high schools. So I'm excited to see that we're in this stage and bringing it to the elected bodies to see if we can get this passed. What's on the table is part of the MOU for the SRO, and I wanted to talk a little bit, and Chief Faulkner's here if we have any questions, and he can chime in at any time you want to, Chief Faulkner. But the way we're seeing this SRO program is really a very positive thing. It's not just a police officer on campus that is there to deter crime, although that is one piece of it, but they're there as an informal educator, an informal counselor. I've seen where kids connect with the SROs, and it's maybe the only person on campus that they do connect with. There is a lot of things being talked about bullying, and I think an SRO on campus has a lot to do with decreasing bullying on campus and being able to handle those things at right that time. They provide themselves as a positive role model to a lot of the students, and obviously for the school safety, and knock on wood, we don't have to deal with this, but any intruder response or any armed intruder response that we have to deal with. They also serve as mentors and advocates for students at different times, as I've seen. Right now, the process that we're in, we're bringing it to you as the school board. Chief Faulkner and the city is going to have to take it to the city council, and at some point, that's where the agreement needs to come from. We've had many conversations about this, and now we're at that point where we brought it to our school board before they've taken it to their city council to see if we can get to this, some agreement as to where we should be. We've looked at this MOU. It's very similar to the MOU we used to have with the city 4 years ago, and there's a couple objectives that we added to it, but there's four objectives here. There's a main goal here, and there's 22 responsibilities. It is asking for a multi-year agreement, but there is a clause in the agreement that either party could exit out of the agreement with a 45-day notice for any reason. So there is some longevity to it, but there also is a way that we can get out, and there is an annual evaluation of the program to make sure it is doing what we think it should be doing. Questions, or would you like to make any comments?
Sure. Good evening, everyone. Thank you very much for the honor of standing before you today. I, too, feel the same way about the West Covina School District. The very first person I reached out to when I was looking at applying for this position was Debbie Kaplan. Talked to her on the phone. We exchanged emails. We had a nice conversation, and I was really enlightened by her interest in working collaboratively with the police department. I come from a very large city that had a very great relationship with the school district, and I believe that you can accomplish a lot together rather than individually. Community policing starts with all of us, not just with the police department. We can't do our job without not just the folks that live in the community, but one of the largest stakeholders in our community, and that's the school district. And I believe that Mr. Hammond's carrying on that great tradition right behind Deborah. We're seeing great things. I've really enjoyed the relationship and the communication. We meet regularly to discuss issues of interest. And I can see that between the school board and also the city council that we're all moving in the right direction. And I'm very, very proud of that. As far as the SRO program is concerned, it is very important to us, not only as a city, but as a police department. I've had the opportunity and the honor to work with many SROs over the years in my old department, and we see them the same way. They are very much a mentor to young folks. They tend to break down those barriers that are now being built by the media recently by some of the events across the country. I think it gives us an opportunity to interact on a one-on-one level. Last year, I worked in an exchange program as a principal for the day here at West Covina Unified, specifically at West Covina High School, and I was amazed how many kids came to the table just to sit down and have lunch and talk. That doesn't happen in a lot of places. So it just tells you how much work that's going on behind the scenes by your teachers, your staff, your school board, to really get kids to understand that we're about helping, but we're also about holding people accountable. And this provides an opportunity for kids to come up and ask questions, feel those questions that maybe they wouldn't feel comfortable asking one of us if we were in a car or on a call. Plus, we get a chance to interact, maybe be a coach, be a part of the school, be seen as part of the school, and certainly a part of the solution, which is to grow our kids to a level where they can come out and be a productive part of our community. So as I envision the school resource program is really something that we work together in a collaborative relationship. It's not about coming out here and enforcing laws. It's about working with the on-site principals of issues of mutual interest. In some cases, we might provide input. Some cases, you might provide us input. But in the end, I think we'll walk together in making a better environment for your kids and our kids and for those that live in our community. So I'm very proud of that. This is something I've worked very, very hard on for the last year since I got here. It was one of the very first things I talked about, was getting this back off the ground. Our day shift officers are spread very thin. There's no hiding the fact that we're a third of the department less than we were a few years ago. When I started here, we were 90 officers. They were at one time 127. For a community this size, that's well underrepresented. And those officers that are on your school grounds offset the calls our officers are having in the field, allowing them to be able to address the things at Cameron Park that we hear at council, that I'm familiar with, I know you're familiar with too. It allows us to be present at those events that you'd like us to be at, to be there to interact with not only the kids but your parents. And it allows us to have the pulse of the district right within the police department so we can get on things quickly, nip those in the bud before they become a bigger problem for all of us. So I think this is a win-win not only for the police department, for the council, and also for the school district, but I wanted to do my due diligence and stand and support, certainly working with Mr. Hinman. And I too, am a fan of quotes. Harry S. Truman once said that you can accomplish anything in life as long as you don't mind who gets the credit. And I'm not really interested in credit. I'm interested in teamwork, and that's what this is all about. So I'm certainly here and available to answer any questions you might have.
I don't have any questions. I just have a comment.
Yes, ma'am.
I've been on the board. Well, first of all, I was a student when we first got SROs.
Yep.
And then I recognized the value they brought to our schools. And so it was quite a blow when the city chose to terminate the program, because we were also in a position that there was just no way that we could afford a full officer ourselves. We've always been ready, willing, and able to do exactly what we're doing now, which is pay for half an officer. I'm excited that we are considering two officers, because, like you said, it puts two more officers back in our community. I've been very well aware and vocal about the cuts that have been made to a great police department and how the police department has been treated. And I see this as a good sign of things to come. Fingers crossed for our police department and our community, as hopefully this is just the beginning of the police department getting back to where it was and what it stood for. I thank you for listening to us specifically, me and Ms. Miranda Jimenez, at the City Council School Board Liaison Committee meetings, because there were some members of city staff and maybe other districts who got tired of listening to us and questioning and really pushing for this program to come back. And I really appreciate that in the short time you've been here, you made this a priority, and we now have this on our agenda. So no real questions, but thanks.
Well, you should be proud of being leaders, because there's another district that's following your heels.
Right.
So. Yeah, this has generated a lot of discussion. Covina Valley, I met yesterday, and they're putting this on their agenda because they don't want to be left behind. And, of course, I know we've had discussions about, of course, you represent this district, and I made that very clear. You know, our challenge is to grow again. We're trying to do that, and I certainly respect the council's leadership in trying to grow in a very careful but steady way so that we don't overspend what we don't have. We're still struggling. The officers are doing everything they can during the day, but they're going call to call. And we don't have the programs that we had in the past. And this is an opportunity for me to come back and rebuild the department in a way that is today current with the technology support and the community support that I think has always been there, but maybe adjusting for where we are today compared to where we were in the past. And I'm very much in support of the community and also this organization. So whatever I can do to assist you, I'm certainly here for that. Thank you very much.
And just one more note, since you're new, all three of the SROs that I've been familiar with are still in the department.
Yes, they are.
Mr. Flowers.
I, too, like to, again, reiterate what the board president said, that Chief, I'm looking so forward to seeing this SRO officers on our campus. And to piggyback also what Chuck said, I see you round about in the community. I see you meeting with all the stakeholders. You're everywhere. You know what? And we love and appreciate you for what you're doing for this community. And we see that you put this community first. And you, and I know you mean it when you say there's no I in teams. It's all about us, all of us coming together as one.
Absolutely.
Community, making this thing better for us all. I'd like to say thank you. We just love you. And I consider you a friend.
Well, thank you very much, sir. I appreciate that. When you speak of singers, make sure you recognize somebody that's one of the best singers in the room right here. I've had the honor and pleasure of being able to stand there when he sang to us. And wish I could hold a candle, but I don't have that kind of tune. Thank you very much.
Ms. Polis?
I do have some questions.
Yes, ma'am.
The they're going to work 4 days a week for 10 hours. And I realize they're your employees and not ours.
Yes.
Do we have any say in what events we would like them to be at and not always incur the overtime? Because I know we have a certain amount of money designated for overtime, but the majority of it, the 90% of it, is straight time.
Sure.
But there are, like our football games, it would be great. And I know that the city has been wonderful in always having at least two patrol cars there and then more cars at Cameron Park after. But it's nice if the students recognize the face and the officer knows the students' names.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So are we going to say we would really like them at a football game or at a basketball game or at a track event? Or are you going, and if they're after-school activities, or is the police department going to dictate what hours they work?
Well, I have to work within MOUs, similar to what I'm sure the school board does, and we have to recognize that they're on a 40-hour work week. I can't split their hours up, but there is some flexibility, certainly. I would think that control of where they go or what events you'd like to be at would certainly come from the principal of that school. And if you have somebody that puts in for a program like this, they tend to be people that want to be there. They're passionate about working with kids and working with students in the community. They're not your officer that's out on the street doing the kind of work that they normally do. You're going to find they're going to want to be a part of the school as much as the school wants them to be part of the overall experience. We're not here to tell the officers what events they need to go to and what they don't. I would think that's a decision that needs to be made at the school level. We would certainly guide them. Currently, our officers attend football games, but one officer certainly isn't going to make the difference that four is there now. And I think there's four that are on every event, and those are on overtime. I have to pay for those.
And we appreciate that.
Yeah, so you might find that SRO would sign up for that specific event as an overtime spot that would be normally put out for overtime, so it wouldn't necessarily be reflected. They may want to come to things because they just want to. You know, we can't tell them to work outside their normal working hours. That's just not something they can do inside the MOU.
So what are the normal working hours? What hours are we looking at for that 10-hour period?
Generally, our day shift people work 7 to 5, but if there were things, let's say, that were in the evening, they may want to adjust and work 9 to 7 if they were, let's say, volunteered to coach. Some of them have background and experience in baseball, football, wrestling, and so forth. And in the past, I know they were mentors in the coaching areas. Some may want to work with after-school programs. I mean, I'm trying to grow our Explore program dramatically, and the connection with the school makes a big difference in being able to do that. So you may find that they will be flexible in their hours because they want to be a part of something that really excites them. It's still new. I think we have to kind of take steps as we go along. And my encouragement when we go through the process, and maybe I'm addressing a question ahead of time, is we want your input in who is going to be there. This isn't about us deciding who you're going to get. We would very much put something out for interest, ask for memos of interest, look at what they want, why they want to be a part of it, and then ask that somebody from the school district sit on that process to be able to hear those officers explain what their interest is and why they want to be a part of this program. You know, I think flexibility is everything in successful programs. It's not about who wins, it's about how we get it accomplished. And I think we're going to find overall through a period of a year there's going to be some learning curves for both our folks and maybe your folks as well. And we want to be flexible with that.
Now, if you're short officers in the community and there's a call, will the school resource officer ever be called off campus to go to something out in the community because you don't have enough officers, it's a high demand day?
No, I wouldn't see that any more than our detectives get assigned to work patrol and we're short. What we do now is when we have we're at absolute minimums on a daily basis. I'm sorry to say that, but that's just where our component is right now. So when somebody takes the day off, we end up having to assign somebody in overtime to fill that shift. We would not pull somebody off your school and stick them in a beat to be able to supplement that. That's not the role of it. However, if something happens so close to the school, an officer were in a fight across the street down the block, and the officer heard over the radio and he thought, God, I can be there for 2, 3, 4 minutes and get back, certainly they would need that flexibility to not ignore something that they really felt compelled to be pulled to.
And that could affect our students if it was so close to the school.
Sure.
I was just thinking being called away.
No.
On a regular
and I would think our officers that are working in the field may very much come to the campus if the officer on campus needed assistance.
And we would still have, if we still have a problem, we're still calling 911. And
I would expect you to.
The officer's response, we would still have that.
You're going to have the same response you've always had, but now you would have somebody at your school. And the benefit, I think, of the way we're talking about setting this up is that you have somebody close enough that they can be flexible back and forth. So on the Friday that one is off, the other officer can maybe reach over to that school, spend some time over there, same with Monday. And they can flow and ebb and tide back and forth. That lets both officers know each other's schools, each other's staff, and it allows them to communicate well about this is the pulse of what's going on at Edgewood. Well, I'm seeing the same thing at West Covina. And then they can share their information with the staff and also with the department to be able to respond to those issues.
And I appreciate you having and I don't know who came up with it, the 45 or 44 days where if there is a problem that we can pull out and it's
absolutely.
Not a whole year that if it doesn't work out for either of us, that's in there.
I think that would be reasonable any more than,
yes.
I hope we don't ever go down the road we have with the economy. Clearly, that was out of everyone's control, but it happened. We do have officers get injured. We have officers that leave to go to other departments, retire, and so forth. Staffing is difficult. It takes me 18 months to hire a brand-new officer from the time they apply till the time they're released on their own. It's just the process is so difficult to get through because of our standards and what we require. Lateral officers from other departments come over in a year, generally. They hire in six, they train six, and then they're on their own. So, you know, we have to understand that our staffing levels are very important to us. We're committed to work with the superintendent to get somebody there quickly. We're already approaching May. To get people to your school is going to be very, very challenging to go through council and get all those approvals and so forth. So we're already starting to ramp up the hiring process, not just for our people that are vacant now, but we're also talking about these three positions. Let's get the backgrounds going, get them ahead so that we're ready to react. Now they just need to go to medical, psych, hire, and train. So it's a much quicker process.
So will we be having a new hire, or will we be having a more seasoned?
No, our general thought with hiring officers is it takes about 4 to 5 years before you really get your feet wet. I'm not familiar with how long it takes teaching. My wife's a kindergarten teacher. I think she would argue about the same. 5 years is about what it takes. We would want somebody that already understands what the position's about, not somebody that is interested, excited about being in police work, that wants to go out and make a difference in the field. That's not really what you're looking for in a school environment. You're looking for somebody that's got some seasoning, some experience to discern the difference between taking action and using the spirit of the law in a certain case. You know, maybe this case, if you're okay with this principle, let's do it this way. This one, we might need to go this way. They have that wherewithal to be able to see the difference between those, where I think the younger officers that are less experienced tend to be very reactionary because that's what they're taught. They're right out of the academy. So our goal would be to do interviews and look at people that have, A, an interest, and B, that have enough experience to understand what we're looking for, what the superintendent's looking for, so we can provide you the best officer for your investment.
Well, I appreciate all of that. And
my pleasure.
I appreciate you trying to work with us to make this happen.
That's what it's all about.
So
absolutely.
Thank you for thinking it out so thoroughly before we embark on our approval.
My pleasure.
No, that's okay. Yeah, I'm excited about the opportunity. And I guess one thing I would like to maybe have, if it's not already been considered, is, you know, working at the high school is obviously the priority, but so many of the problems we see at the high school really got their start early at the elementary level, middle school. So it'd be great to see if there's some kind of component where there's outreach to those levels where, you know, the officers find some strategic time to go and talk and you know, have those
idea.
Seminars or whatever with the younger kids so that we make this a preventative type of you know, yeah, collaboration rather than just punitive. So I think there's so many ways that we could take this so that, you know, we're curbing problems before they, you know, we see them. So.
One of the things we discussed is, you know, normally we wear uniforms like this. Our thought is to put the officers in some sort of a polo shirt with the West Covina PD, maybe the 511 kind of style pants, tennis shoes or boots, a little less of the formal attire. Certainly sometimes maybe it's appropriate to wear that formal attire on a day or two or some event. We have, as you pointed out, the sky's the limit. I mean, we can do whatever we really want to as we go along, and I think that over a period of time, we may shape this into an even better program than I think we're discussing tonight and also is on paper. Outreach is important to us. Unfortunately, right now, we're so short-staffed that the officers in the field are going to things and doing it as they have time. I think this particular officer or these officers that are assigned to your schools, if you chose to say, hey, let's find once a month, you pick a school in our district and you go to that school and connect with the kids or the staff, that's certainly, we're wide open on this. We've had quite a bit of discussion about the potential.
Ms. Miranda Jimenez.
I'm so excited about this. It's been a long time in the making, and I really appreciate your leadership in making it happen because it had stalled. We had come to us. We weren't moving. And thank you so much that when you came on board, you said, this is a priority to me, and I'm going to make it happen. And you have. And here we are. So your leadership and your department's commitment to this, we really deeply appreciate here at the district. Ms. Poulos asked the question that I had because the last subcommittee meeting we had was it going to be a new hire? Was it going to be somebody from within the department? So you've already answered the question. It would be somebody within the department because you did make it clear to us you are short-staffed. So thank you for explaining that. This is really exciting. Thank you, Dr. Hinman, for also making this a priority on our behalf as well. I really appreciate the collaboration that has taken place. I look forward to the good things that are going to be accomplished for our district, and I'm so glad that student safety was put at the forefront, and the board never wavered on that, and so we're making good on the commitment. So thank you so much again for your leadership.
We have some really good people at the organization where I work, and very proud of the things that they're doing. There's people already talking about an interest in putting in for a position like this because they're hearing the rumors. Unfortunately, rumors tend to be associated sometimes with bad things. This is a rumor that's a good thing. And we're kind of getting far enough ahead where I think that the questions that you're being asked or you're asking, rather, really are appropriate because other people might ask the same thing. You know, we do have people that test for promotion. We have people that put in for assignments. We certainly hope and pray that the person that puts in for this wants to stay for a little while. But we can't prevent them from doing that. But I think there's a component that we haven't talked about, which is your impact on us, which I think is a positive one. You know, we're influenced by our community contacts, but we also need some interaction and impact from the students and the staff of one of our biggest stakeholders. So this is a good thing for us, too. Thank you very much for working with us. And, yes, I understand why it did, and although that was the past, it's important to me keep moving forward. Thank you very much for your time, and thank you for entertaining me tonight.
Move this and second it.
Okay, with that, I will move this item.
I will second it.
Well, let me read it. To enter into an MOU with the City of West Covina to establish the SRO, School Resource Officer Program, with officers being assigned to West Covina High School and Edgewood High School. So I have moved it. Ms. Miranda Jimenez has seconded it, which I think is apropos.
Yes, that's why I said we have to move it and second it.
Is all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries 5-0.
All right.
Thank you.
With that, I will take a 5-minute break.
I didn't say thank you.